ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एवं विदाने कगुना सराजा परात्मनि ब्रह्मणि वासुदेवे क्रियाकलापाय समुवाह भक्ति एवं इन दिस वे विदा अनेक गुणाः एंडाउड विद वैरायटीज ऑफ गुड क्वालिटीज सा ही महाराज अम्बरीश Raja, the king. So we can see in this verse, and Srila Prabhupada's translation basically follows the Sanskrit, because this verse, in some ways, it sums up the entire pastime of Maharaj Ambarish. So here, in this way, Evam in this way, because Vida Neka Guna Sa Raja, the king, because he was endowed with so many exalted qualities. So it's good to... Actually, I was in Japan in 1972, Srila Prabhupada was actually expecting us to learn the verses. He introduced the going over the verses word by words, with the word by words at this time, and he had every person in the room recite the verse, and then the next day we'd recite that verse plus the next verse and so on until everyone was reciting more or less all the verses that we heard. And he actually wanted the devotees to enter into the meaning of the verse in a very, very deep way. I know for myself sometimes I sort of wake up after the word by words are finished, but that's not actually the proper way to hear the Sanskrit of the verses. And this one is very, very, very clear as to the meaning, and it's quite wonderful how the king, because of his, he's endowed, he's been given exalted qualities. And then the next verse is Paratmani, unto the Super Soul. Brahmani, unto Brahman. Vasudevi, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, Vasudeva. So here, his realizations are being described. All of his realizations from Brahman, Paramatma, and then Bhagawan realization up to the point of Krishna realization. This is what he had. He had all this knowledge. And how did he get all this knowledge? It was due to his bhakti. Kriya Kalapai, by practical activities. Samuvaha, executed. Bhaktim, devotional service. So by his practical activities, he executed his devotional service. He was certainly not a bhajananandi who went off into the forest, at least this stage of his life. He became so exalted while being the king So this is so wonderful. This is wonderful, and it gives us hope and gives us direction how we should perform our activities in such a way that Krishna is pleased. And what pleases Krishna? It's clear, it's bhakti, it's devotion, it's acting for His pleasure and not even taking a little bit for myself. This is love, this is bhakti. Krishna, may you be pleased by this. So, and then Kriya Kalpai, by practical activities, Samuvaha, executed, Bhaktim, devotional service, Yaya, by such activities, Avirinchan, beginning from the topmost planet. That means the planet of Lord Brahma, Varinchi. And then Narayan, down to the hellish planets. Chakara, he experienced that there is danger everywhere. So he understood the actual nature of the material existence. He was not in any illusion that by becoming a king, king means controller, by becoming powerful, by accumulating something, I'm going to make for myself a place that is safe and therefore peaceful and therefore full of happiness. So rather than his activities being performed for that purpose, which an ordinary person would do, his activities, his practical activities, were all bhakti. Understanding the actual nature of this world. And here is, and it's interesting to see in the word by words, Prabhupada translates Chakara, he experienced there is danger everywhere. So let's see how Prabhupada puts that into his translation. In this way, because of devotional service, Maharaj Ambarisha, who is endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he thought even the topmost planet of this material world no better than the hellish planets. So that's how Narayan Chakara, he experienced there is danger everywhere, from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. So therefore, he didn't see any place is better than another. Any situation is better than another. Please repeat Prabhupada's translation. And at the end of this repetition, I'm going to ask you what you remember. So please listen carefully and repeat carefully. In this way, because of devotional service, Maharaj Ambarish, who was endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he thought even the topmost planet of this material world no better than the hellish planets. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport here is a little bit long, so we'll take it, not long, but a little bit long. So we'll take it one paragraph at a time, and then I'll also ask you what you remember from that paragraph. So what do you remember from the verse? We'll start here. Raise your hand, please. What do you remember from the verse? Who's not going to be shy? Yes. I always recognize a scratch of the head as a person who really wants to say what he remembers. So please tell us, what do you remember? Yeah? I'm sorry? Well, that makes it easier. Say again, Prabhu. You don't want to speak. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj Bhagesh was fully aware of Brahman.
Yes. He was fully aware of it all, of the absolute truth. And because of that, then he executed his devotional service perfectly. In other words, he was so deeply Krishna conscious, and seeing Krishna in all circumstances, seeing Krishna, Vasudeva, in all circumstances. Thank you. Anyone else remember something from the verse? Yes.
I remember that Maharaj Ambarish considered heavenly planets or the lower planets to be full of danger. And therefore, he didn't consider them very valuable.
And right before Prabhupada says that, he thought even the topmost planet of the material world no better than the hellish planet. So it's a causative phrase right before that. Because of his bhakti, because of his devotion, he had that vision. And one cannot have that vision unless one is tasting param dristvinavartite because of devotion. It's not an intellectual adjustment. There has to be such deep bhakti, not superficial bhakti, not on the surface. Because this is what I've experienced in my life. I'll become very fixed intellectually. From now on, I'm only going to think about Krishna. From now on, this. From now on, that. But as soon as the material energy pushes a little bit, my intelligence gets knocked over by the circumstances. And my mind takes over. And that is a very dangerous thing, I could tell you from my experience. So it has to be very deep bhakti. And Maharaj Ambarish had that. And the proof that he had that is that when he was... Does anyone, if you've been following the whole this part of the Bhagavatam, these two chapters, when he was cursed and that creature that Devasa Muni had created was coming towards him, what did he do? Does anyone remember what he did? Yes, Mataji. He what? He didn't do anything. He was so fixed. He was so fixed like a firmly rooted tree in his bhakti. There was no fear. There was nothing. He was there with Krishna. And therefore, no fear. That is bhakti, and therefore Prabhupada is Abhaya Charan, Charananavindam. Let's hear what Prabhupada says in the purport. This is his instructions for us. An exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is in full awareness of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan. In other words, a devotee of Vasudeva, Krishna, is in full knowledge of the other features of the Absolute Truth. Now, practically speaking, one could speak a book or a class on every line of Prabhupada's purport here, but we won't. An exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is in full awareness of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan. In other words, a devotee of Vasudev Krishna is in full knowledge. So an exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish, and then a devotee of Vasudev Krishna. So devotees, this is what it means to be a devotee. It's such an exalted position. Means that one is fully devoted. One has given himself to the core of one's being, to the core of my self-identification. Who am I? I am Krishna's, Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's. This is an exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish, and it is also a devotee of Vasudev, of Krishna. And such a person is in full knowledge of the other features of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagawan. Brahmeti, Paramatmati, Bhagawan Ipti Sabjite. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, knows everything. Vasudeva Savamiti. Because Vasudev, Krishna, includes both Paramatma and Brahman. One does not have to realize Paramatma by the yoga system. For the devotee, always thinking of Vasudev is the topmost yogi, yoginam api sarvesham. As far as jnana is concerned, if one is a perfect devotee of Vasudev, he is the greatest Mahatma. Vasudeva savamiti, sa Mahatma sadolava. A Mahatma is one who has full knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Thus Maharaj Ambarish, being a devotee of the Personality of Godhead, was in full awareness of Paramatma, Brahman, and Maya, the material world, the spiritual world, and how things are going on everywhere. So this, sometimes we may think, hearing Shastras say that a devotee is supposed to know everything, what exactly does that mean? Does he know how many squares of marble are naturally in this room? How many cells are in my eyeball? Is that what it means to know everything? Sometimes we may think so, and sometimes we would like to be sauvagya in that sense and all-knowing. But here it is clear what it means. To know everything means to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And that is to know everything. And that's why the scientists, and that is to know everything accurately. And therefore the scientists who know so much, who are so intelligent, thousands of times more intelligent than a person like me. But Prabhupada would just simply call them rascals, because the result of their scientific study and knowledge was that they didn't see Krishna anywhere. And they would have to come up with some reason or another how everything comes into existence. And the reasons that they come up with are so wild, actually. You have to really have more faith. You have to have more faith than to understand that everything is coming from the breathing of Mahavishnu, which takes faith. But their reasons are amazing. They say everything comes from nothing. And no one has ever experienced anything coming from nothing. And then they have to define nothing in such a way is that it's I can't remember their term at this moment, how it's a potential, a quantum potential, and everything comes from this quantum potential, which is something. It's not nothing. If it's potential, it's something. So they have to do so much speculation and word jugglery to come up with a vision that excludes God, that excludes Krishna. And a devotee, he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. There's one scientific saying that if you accept the scientific conclusions, your conclusion is that you are an orphan in a very lonely universe. You're all alone, and there's no meaning to life, and there's no meaning to what you should do. There's no meaning to helping anyone. There's no such thing as compassion, because there's no meaning to anything. Existence has no meaning. So how terrified such a person would be, continuously. And on the other hand, a devotee, even if a child, like Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj could see Krishna in everything at every time with such great devotion, he was fearless in the most difficult of all circumstances. A devotee like Maharaj Ambarish, his life was being threatened, and not only was he fearless, but he felt kindly. His heart was soft. He never became angry at Devasamuni. He was always respectful to Devasamuni. He fasted until Devasamuni returned. Incredible consciousness. Incredible consciousness. Krishna consciousness. But it's so deep. Prabhupada's purport continues. Everything was known to him because he was living. Just consider how satisfied and peaceful would one be if one had a loving relationship with Krishna and was surrendered to Krishna, gotripte varanam tata, that he had given himself to Krishna, and he saw that in every circumstance, Krishna was there. That was Prahlad's vision, and that was Maharaj Ambarish's vision. And I would, of course, I can't really comment on Prabhupada's vision, but it's clear that he had that vision. And would you like to have that vision? Otherwise, this material world is a very rocky place. It's a very rocky and tumultuous place. And yet, by that vision, but not intellectually, but with bhakti, being under Krishna's protection, again, gotripte varanam tata, there is no place. Prabhupada even said that when he was in New York, in one of the worst parts of New York, he was in New York and he said, I never felt like I was in a foreign place. Because he felt himself with Krishna, with Guru and Krishna, because he was following the order of his spiritual master. So he felt himself within, one can say, the bubble of his real life of service in relationship to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in relationship to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, this I could say from experience, he never left, I call it the bubble of Vrindavan. He carried that with him, and I always comment that was the secret of his success. And when you would walk into Prabhupada's presence, you would walk into Vrindavan, practically speaking. You would enter that. You'd walk into his room, and the sweetness of Braj was there. Because his consciousness was there. He was Krishna conscious. He was a devotee. He was an exalted devotee. He was a devotee. He saw Krishna in everything. Because the devotee knows Vasudeva, he knows everything within the creation of Vasudeva, Vasudeva Savamiti, Samahatma Sadolava, and such a person is very rare. Such a devotee does not give much value to the highest standard of happiness within the material world. he does not give much value to the highest standard of happiness in the material world. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes the words of Lord Shiva, Narayana Paraksave Nakutasthena Bibhyati, is fearless. Svaga Apavaga Narakeshu Apituyarta Darshana. Because he is fixed in devotional service, this is the translation, a devotee does not regard any position in the material world as important. What consciousness this is! And why is it no situation is better? Because every situation, a Brahma Bhuvana Laka, Purna Avataran, it's going to end in death. And in between there's fear and there's struggling to maintain something that will definitely lose. We struggle to maintain something that we definitely will lose, and therefore at the heart of every person's consciousness, whatever it appears like, every person or living entity in the material world, at the heart of their consciousness is fear. At the heart of all problems that even that I have, that devotees have, there's always fear, because that's the essence of material existence. It's artificial. There's fear at the essence. There's an incompatibility. And the cure is being with Krishna. So then Prabhupada continues and says, so after saying that a devotee does not regard it in any position in the material world as important, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has therefore written in Chaitanya Chandramrita 5, Kaivaya Nirakayate Tridasapura Kasha Pushpayate. Does anyone know this verse? Please. Sorry. I'll read it. Please. Vishwan Purnam Sakayate. Thank you. Now, there's one more paragraph in Prabhupada's purport, and first he'll translate this verse, but the last line of this paragraph, a short paragraph, actually it struck me as quite interesting. So please listen, and we'll get to the last line at the end. For one who becomes a pure devotee through devotional service to great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that sentence itself is quite wonderful. For one who becomes a pure devotee through devotional service to great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaivalya, or merging into Brahman, appears no better than hell. In other words, removing all miseries, that is the goal, and at the cost of losing one's individual devotion to Krishna, is like hell. Never would a devotee would take this up. So one by one, he's going to go through these different, the verse of Prabodhananda Saraswati goes through these different desires of living entities. As far as the heavenly planets are concerned, to a devotee, they are like a phantasmagoria, or will-o'-the-wisp, and means they don't really exist. He doesn't care about them at all. And to a devotee, as far as yogic perfection is concerned, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection. Now that's such an interesting expression. He doesn't care a fig. Because if you've ever seen a fig tree in blossom, raise your hand if you've ever seen a really good fig tree in blossom. Yes, I have too. There's so many figs on it. And if you lose one fig or you take a fig, you don't care a fig for the fig. So in other words, it's inconsequential. It doesn't have any value. So for a devotee, yogic perfections, and consider what yogic perfections are. You can control everything. Now, how easy it would be to manage if you controlled everything. You can control the world. You can make anything appear, anything you want appear, or make anything disappear, or you could go anywhere you want. You could make yourself so small or so great, and a devotee doesn't give a fig for these. To control the material world like no one else can control it, a devotee doesn't give a fig. It's inconsequential. It's meaningless for him. So just see what the consciousness of a devotee is like. He is so much filled with love for Sisi, Radha and Krishna, Lalita, Vishakha. He's so much tasting the sweetness of that relationship, everything else appears insignificant. And as Prabhupada sometimes would say, everything there is in the Bhagavad Gita, so it's there in the Bhagavad Gita, param drishva navartate. By experiencing the higher taste, and when one tries to give up his desire for mystic perfections or heavenly enjoyment or getting rid of miseries, jnana, karma, yoga, through just a mental adjustment or thinking that, oh yes, I should do this, I'm supposed to do this because this is our philosophy or anything like that, one will naturally fall short. So it really behooves us, it's important that we advance. And then the question naturally comes after this line, since the purpose of yogic perfection is achieved automatically by the devotees. Now the question is how to move upward in our devotional service. That's the question that naturally comes to my mind after hearing of the glories of Ambarish Maharaj's consciousness of devotional service. How to actually move up? Now, this is the last line of Prabhupada's purport. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Thank you. How did you know that? You looked. Okay. Therefore, when you have the exams, you're not allowed to bring your mobile phone in. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Now, when I read this, I was thinking that specifically Prabhupada didn't say his blessings, because one prefers blessings than instructions in many ways. And so many times you walk somewhere, please give me your blessings, please give me your blessings, keep it. As if devotees are blessing ATMs or something like that. Please give me your blessings, please give me your blessings, please give me your blessings. But how about, please give me your instructions? Because that puts the blessings, puts the weight on the blesser to, he'll do all the work for you and then your job is easy. But please give me your instructions. And then who does the weight fall on? It falls on me to follow those instructions. And how would Prabhupada begin his letters? Please accept my blessings. The blessings are there. The instructions are there. Please accept the blessings in the form of instructions. There are other ways to bless too, but this is the prime way of blessing, is instructions on how one can advance. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. So then one will naturally want to research what are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. So that, of course, there are many. Would anyone like to say one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions? Yes, you have to say this one. You too, you can. Bala Hare Prabhu, if you would kindly chant Hare Krishna, kirtan, and don't stop. I hear Prabhupada say that so many times, continuously. I heard him say it this morning in a Nectar of Devotion lectures. Chant Hare Krishna and don't stop, basically. Kirtaniya Sadahari. There's no question, practically speaking, of having any difficulties. Let me put it in a more realistic way. If I could perform this one instruction, then all the troubles that my crazy mind gives me would be ended, and I would become this kind of a devotee. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Any other? Yes.
Don't wear deer skin.
Yes, this is a very important instruction. If you want to become deer, don't wear a deer skin. And on behalf of Vaisheshika Prabhu, who has such a sweet sense of humor, could you tell us more about that?
Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta also didn't like what he called the foppery. Like, becoming so externally focused on one's accoutrements and the presentation and getting carried away with all kinds of the latest styles. Prabhupada used to say our style is very Krishna. And Prabhupada insisted on a kind of adherence to the mood and method. That the acharya not veering off in various ways and starting trends that would end up off in a ditch somewhere. So, you know, it was an important instruction that he gave when he didn't recognize Brahmananda Bharati and said, I don't have Brahmananda Bharati. He wouldn't have very dear skin. The instruction almost touched me.
Yeah, well, and I finally got a purport on that. Thank you. Thank you. And any other instructions of Chaitanya? Yes. No. First instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or where could we find more of them? Shikshastakam. Excuse me? And nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va. All I want is to become an insignificant servant at your lotus feet, like a particle of dust. It's my only desire, to the very core of who I am. More instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. Thank you. More. Gramya Katana Sunive. Now here's a question. Yes. Asat Sangha Tyag. Please, English translation for poor Burijan Das.
First dress, then dress. First you have to
help yourself and help others. How could I help myself? Patri Prabhu.
I'm trying to help myself. Sadhu Sangha Namakirtan Bhagavasrava, Matrava Sri Murti Vashtravyasana, Panchanga Matri. So this is association of devotees, chanting from England. Listen to Shiva Madhavan from Bridge and Prabhu.
But that there's actually a truth in that. There's a truth in that. Because I have to listen when I'm speaking. And my mind, your minds can all wander. Although I can sometimes tell. Well, you can get sleepy. But if I get sleepy, that'll be very embarrassing. So I'm the first hearer. And actually in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, when Sukadev Goswami begins to answer Maharaj Prickett's question, because at the end of the 9th canto, finally, one could say, and there's actually such an interesting connection between all of this, the 9th canto beginning with Ambarish Maharaj, and then it goes to so many other pastimes, and Ramachandra, just before Krishna is going to be introduced, we're getting Lord Ram, where there's the first time there is actually rasa. So finally, when the Soma dynasty, the Moon dynasty, is being introduced at the end of the 9th canto, so Sukadeva Goswami comes to the point of saying something about Krishna and Balaram, but in very, very summarized form. And then the canto ends in that way, and Maharaj Prickett, he says, please now tell me about Krishna. He asks questions about the brief summary that Sukadeva Goswami has given, and he said, please answer all the questions that I have asked and answer all the questions that I haven't asked. Tell me about Krishna, tell me about Krishna, tell me about Krishna, tell me about Krishna. Which brings up a question, where does that kind of taste come from? That I really just want to hear about Krishna. Not force, but where does that taste come from? Because if the taste is there, then it's easy. Where does the taste come from? What's the verse? Shushusho shranadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevya vipro. By service, devotional service, the taste comes. So anyway, Maharaj Prickett asks it, please tell me about Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami, his answer is the 10th canto and the 11th canto. And then in the beginning of the 12th canto, he begins again to describe the dynasty in the Soma dynasty and as it moves into Kali Yuga. But when one of the first things that Sukadeva Goswami says is that when there's Krishna Katha, there's three kinds of people who are benefited. The speaker, the prime hearer, the one who he's primarily speaking to, in that case it's Sukadeva Goswami, excuse me, Maharaj Prickett, and then more or less everyone else who's listening in. So we have, the Acharya's comment on the order, and the person who benefits the most is the speaker. Second, the prime hearer. And third, all the rest of us. So, again, yes, Patri, you are correct. That I have to listen to my class. Also. Okay. Now, one question, because you have asked, and then we're already time to end.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We are a community of devotees practicing sadhana bhakti. So my question is, we have so many great type of devotees, Dr. Ashram Gopala, Gopala is not only devotee, but Acharya is one. So my question is, how are we going to assess ourselves as practicing sadhana devotee, giving all due respect to the different levels of devotees, up to Sarvajana? So please, this is my question.
Okay. Thank you. If I've understood, you're saying in the community of devotees, how do we relate to the different devotees of different levels? So in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes that the Madhyam devotee treats different devotees in different ways. He's compassionate to those who don't know anything. He's friendly with his equals. He bestows paternal or maternal affection to those who are junior or less than him, and he serves those who are more advanced than him. So that's, in one sense, the book answer. That's the correct answer. We have different relationships with different people. But how to organize the society or our community in such a way that we perform the activities that you all suggested. No one's wearing deer skins and we're always chanting Hare Krishna and Gramya Kirtan or Sunni, but how to actually do that? So we can't force it. We can't force it. But what we can do, what comes to my mind, is two things. We take care of ourselves primarily. And we try to improve ourselves. And secondarily, we increase the amount of opportunities for people to hear Krishna Katha, do service, and to chant Hare Krishna. There are so many opportunities. There are so many opportunities, but the Daiva Mitri Swami Ha Nanu Jano Raga. And this is my misfortune, that I don't take advantage of what Krishna has already given me. And when you walk into Prabhupada's presence and you'd have a mind full of so many problems, and in his presence, he would say something like, "What is the difficulty?" or "There are no problems." I remember so many times he would say, "There are no problems." And I'd think, "Yeah, but there's so many problems. I have so many problems." But in fact, if we just can, the more we chant, the more we serve, but in a proper mood, the more our problems appear insignificant, and we become aligned with the desires of Krishna, and that's really the goal. We want to become aligned with the desires of Krishna and absorbed in the thoughts of how to please him. So I don't know if I answered your question. I'm sure a lot of devotees could answer it in more and better ways than I. It's probably a good question. Yes, Hare Krishna, Prita.
This is interesting, but very short point of information. When Prabhupada left his body, instances before, the body was already struggling for air and he heard this sound that wouldn't move, as described. He lifted his hand very peacefully and he said, "Everything moving and non-moving, there's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness." You see, at the last moment, that was the last thing he practically said before he said, "Hare Krishna," and that was what. It was his state of mind, was this time, much unreached. He was completely free from every anxiety because he was situated in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. What a good place to end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitya Gaura Premananda ki jai, Sri Gaura Nitya ki jai, Krishna Balarama ki jai, Radha Shyama Sundara Nityananda ki jai.